Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Do you drive to work every single day? Isn't it just the most mundane yet annoying thing in the world? You make the same turns, you stop at the same traffic lights, and oh, the same traffic jams. Well, what if you didn't have to drive? You still took the car to work, but you didn't drive it. What about the self-driving car? Would you want one? Would you trust one? How will self-driving cars gain people's trust? As advancing technology brings self-driving cars closer and closer to reality, car manufacturers and interested consumers have more and more questions about the changes that autonomous cars will bring. How will they navigate? How often will they hand over control to their owners? Who will be responsible in the event that something goes wrong or an accident occurs? And what will it take for people to trust self-driving cars? Though they can't answer all of those questions, maps will play a key role in bringing driverless cars to the road and convincing people to give them a chance. Autonomous cars will need high-definition maps to navigate, and people will need them to trust these cars. Peter Skillman, lead designer for Nokia here, the maps division and Finnish communications company, told Wired that self-driving cars will require maps that are different in several very important ways from the maps that we use today for turn-by-turn directions. These maps will need to be high-definition, though meter resolution maps are adequate for GPS-based navigation. Self-driving cars will need maps to tell them where the curb is within a few centimeters. Wait a minute, that's the metric system. What about here when we don't deal with centimeters? See? These maps will need to be live, updated second by second with information about accidents, traffic backups, and lane closures. And they'll need to account for human psychology and help self-driving cars win the trust of passengers. The key to making autonomous driving work is to not forget about the driver, Skillman told Wired. Wired reports that estimates of when autonomous cars will be ready for the road vary. Sergey Brin's optimistic forecast of 2018 to more conservative estimates of the 2020s. The Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers has even estimated when a majority of cars on the road will be driverless, projecting that up to 75% of vehicles will be autonomous by 2040. Doesn't this all just seem to be so futuristic? What about your phone? What about your kid's video game that's hooked up to the internet? What about your internet connection at work? What about technology as a whole? Does it always work well? Is it there when you need it? What about when you're driving on the road at 65 miles an hour? What if all of a sudden your 4G becomes no G and your Wi-Fi goes bye-bye? And the thing that's controlling your car all of a sudden... Yep. What happens then? Everyone paints this incredibly rosy picture of the future. We're not going to be doing anything. It's going to be George Jetson utopia. But when you put the rubber to the road, literally in this sense, it gets a little scary. Back to the story. While the timing is uncertain, cars are already edging in the direction of autonomy with adaptive cruise control, blind spot monitoring, and assisted parallel parking available on current models. At issue with the prospect of cars being able to navigate without the input of humans are legal questions of liability, technological questions of the sensors necessary, and also the psychological question of how self-driving cars will gain their passengers' trust. Maps play a crucial part in all of this. I just thought of this. 2 years ago, we went to Cape Cod on vacation. So we rented this huge SUV, not just your standard issue SUV, but one of these giant things where my son was in the far back seat and he was about a mile and a half away. It had the little camera you put the car in reverse and wow, there on the screen, I could see right behind me. So I'm backing up at the hotel and I hear beep, beep, beep. Oh, I'm going to hit something. Wait a minute. There's nothing there. There's no car. All right, go back. Beep, beep, beep. Wait a minute. What's going on? It was an incredibly windy day on Cape Cod. When is it not? It was the wind that was somehow triggering the sensor that something was too close to the car and I was about to hit it. I was hitting air, being forced in a huge gust of wind. That's technology for you. It works great when 19 little 24-year-olds are sitting there with a latte and they're trying to figure it all out. But when you actually put these things in practicality, sometimes they just don't work. Ogi Redzik, Senior Vice President of Connected Driving at Nokia HERE, says that maps for automated driving are much more precise than the maps needed for navigation today. They are much more precise as you need to keep vehicles within lanes and you need things like slope, curvature, height, bank of the road. You also need to keep these maps fresh, meaning as soon as one vehicle notices a change on the road, our cloud infrastructure needs to process it and make it available to other cars. According to Redzik, HERE plans to have key roads mapped to the precision necessary for automated driving by 2020. To convince drivers that they should use and trust self-driving cars, manufacturers will need to use the same maps that power the car's navigation systems to make passengers more comfortable handing over control. A race to build the better, smarter maps that will make this possible is currently underway, and the maps are constructed using several different mechanisms of gathering information. As most digital maps do, HERE's HD maps take satellite and aerial imagery at their starting point. They also incorporate probe data from GPS devices inside fleet vehicles that are owned by trucking companies and other partners. Aren't you starting to see here that a lot of things have to work in conjunction always at their top level of performance to be able to make this work? And I'm not even factoring in the safety issue here. There's just way too much technology. Would you let a complete stranger that you didn't know, whose judgment was a little sketchy at times, was a little unreliable at times, jump behind the wheel and control the car that you and your family were driving in? Probably not. So would you trust some computer program that's piggybacked onto 19 other little technological gizmos that's patterned after this and subsidized by that? Do you want that controlling your car? Really? Even more detailed information comes from hundreds of cars that are outfitted with GPS cameras and LiDAR, a laser-based method of measuring distance. When the car is in motion, the LiDAR system, housed in a small cylinder, spins, emitting 32 laser beams and analyzing the light that bounces back. HERE's head of reality capture, John Rivetsky, told Wired in an interview that the system collects 700,000 points per second. An inertial sensor tracks the pitch, roll, and yaw of the car. What is the yaw? I've never heard of that. The yaw of the car. So that the data can be corrected for the position of the car and used to make a three-dimensional model of the road. The LiDAR system's range extends 10 to 15 stories above street level, and at street level, its resolution is just a few centimeters. HERE uses computer... That's the Nokia thing again. Nokia HERE uses computer vision algorithms and manual labor to extract information from lane markers and street signs in the LiDAR imagery. All right, there we go again, folks. Isn't that just a lot of technical jargon for we really have our fingers crossed and we hope this whole thing works? Do you really think this is going to be on the road by 2020? It's 2015. I can't even get my Keurig machine to work properly half the time, and all of a sudden, my car is going to drive me to Florida. And I'm not going to worry about anything because it's going to know what the traffic situation is. It's going to know about the guy who broke down over there on the side of the road. It's going to know about that accident 3 miles away. Really? Please. A recent survey commissioned by Cpine Software and conducted by Harris Interactive found that 88% of U.S. adults would be worried about driving in a driverless car. More than three-fourths of the respondents worried that the technology would fail. More than half worried about liability issues. More than a third worried that automakers, insurers, and advertisers could collect personal data. And only 12% said they would not be worried about riding in a self-driving car. What if your self-driving car somehow went over the speed limit? And your autonomous police department sent you a ticket in the mail? Can the car pay for the ticket? I think not. Can you imagine what the insurance rates are going to be on these driverless cars to begin with, especially when there are a few crashes? Is it going to be safer? Probably not. Thus, the insurance rates will go sky high. And here's a thought. What about all the computer hacking that's been going on recently? Let's fast forward a bit. It's 2021. Seth Rogen has just starred in The Interview 6. Oh, the first five have been blockbusters. And all of a sudden, you know, those folks in North Korea, they get upset again. So they decide they're going to go hack some more computers. And all of a sudden, your car starts going 135 miles an hour in a 25 zone, and you can't stop it. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network. America
Weekend. Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. The name Charles Manson brings to mind pure evil as he serves out a life sentence at Corcoran State Prison in California. But was Charles Manson a serial killer? During his famous trial of 1970, what was Charles Manson found guilty of? The final verdict after this.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Manson was found guilty of conspiracy to commit murder through a joint responsibility rule. Even though he wasn't physically present at any of the crime scenes, he is equally responsible as if he had been there. And that's the final verdict.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This speed skater's record-shattering performance at the 1980 Olympics has never been equal. He's the only Olympian in history to win all five skating events.
A new world and Olympic record for Eric Heiden.
So where is Eric Heiden now? After leaving the world of speed skating, Eric searched for a new challenge. He became a cyclist, eventually racing in the 1986 Tour de France. He graduated from Stanford Medical School in 1991 and is now a practicing orthopedist. Eric served as the team doctor for the NBA's Sacramento Kings as well as the Monarchs of the WNBA.
He broke the old Olympic record. Remember the name. Your grandchildren will certainly hear it. Eric Heiden.
Eric Heiden, unsurpassed on and off the ice. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.